food bloggers. Hi, how are you today? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Eat Blog Talk podcast. This is the place for food bloggers to get information and inspiration to accelerate your blog's growth and ultimately help you to achieve your freedom, whether that's financial, personal, or professional. I'm Megan Porta. I have been a food blogger for 13 years, so I understand how isolating food blogging can be. I'm on a mission to motivate, inspire, and most importantly, let each and every food blogger, including you, know that you are heard and supported. The topic in this episode is something that I think a lot of us can relate to, but that we don't give a lot of thought to. Many of us started our blogs because we wanted to be stay-at-home moms or dads, and we maybe wanted financial or schedule freedom. And when we started our blogs, we may have been in a different season of life than we are now. So our niche and the content that we created for our blogs may have changed over time. Amy Whiteford from Healthy Little Foodies sheds light on this topic here inside this interview. She talks about staying motivated as you outgrow your blog's niche and talks about her own experience with starting 10 years ago, making food for her toddlers and babies, and how she still makes food for that same niche on her blog, even though her kids are no longer babies and toddlers. We talk through some possible ways to navigate this. Amy talks a lot about her mindset and how she had to change her mindset and really embrace her expertise and the authority that she had spent so much time creating on her blog. We also give attention to spending less time on those things that you don't love about blogging, maybe it's social media or video, and allowing yourself to really focus on the things that you do love about blogging. No matter where you're at in your journey with blogging, you will probably be able to relate to a lot of the things that we talk about in this episode, so I really hope that you enjoy it. It is episode number 509, sponsored by RankIQ. Hey, awesome food bloggers. Before we dig into this episode, I have a really quick favor to ask you. Go to your favorite podcast player, go to Eat Blog Talk, scroll down to the bottom where you see the ratings and review section. Leave Eat Blog Talk a 5-star rating if you love this podcast and leave a great review. This will only benefit this podcast. It adds value. And I so very much appreciate your efforts with this. Thank you so much for doing this. Okay, now on to the episode. Amy Whiteford is a food enthusiast originally from Scotland, now residing in Sydney, Australia, and has been the driving force behind the blog Healthy Little Foodies since 2012. Amy is a mom of two little foodies, Finley and Rory, and has a background in food science, education, and childhood nutrition. Amy's on a mission to simplify mealtime for parents of babies and young children by providing healthy and delicious recipes and feeding tips. Hello, Amy, from across the world. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Megan. How are you?
I'm good. How is Australia early in the morning?
It's sunny. It's summer here, so good. It's nice and sunny.
I can live through you because we've had a string of kind of dreary days, so I'm envious of your sunshine. But yeah, great to have you on the podcast. We're going to talk about staying motivated when you might feel like you're outgrowing your blog or your blog's niche. But before we get into that topic, do you have a fun fact to share with us, Amy?
I'm not sure if it's fun, but it's a good fact. I have lived and worked in 5 different countries.
Oh, okay. Tell us the countries.
So obviously starting in Scotland, you might be able to tell from my accent. I've worked in many cities in Scotland. And then when I was at university, I worked in the USA. And then I worked in London, England. And then once I finished university, I worked in Canada, went back to the USA, and I'm now in Australia.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's amazing. I don't think many of us can say that. So quite the diverse little collection of places to live. I love it. Okay, let's talk about your blog for a little bit because I think that'll give us a really nice backdrop for our conversation today. So do you want to tell us a little bit about Healthy Little Foodies?
Yeah. I started the blog 10 years now. I just had my 10-year anniversary.
Oh, congrats.
So I started back in December 2013. And my eldest son was 2 at the time. And I was really immersed in the world of baby and toddler food. And he was a really good eater. And I'd be at all these kids, you know, toddler groups. And the parents would be like, how do you get him to eat this? How do you get him to eat that? And so that's when I started my blog. Just showcasing recipes that I made him and him eating it, because my friends thought if their kids could see my son eating it, their children would eat it. So it was really more of a diary, and it was called Feeding Finn at the time. Mm-hmm. And then as he got older, as the blog became more successful, I changed it to Healthy Little Foodies because I had more than one foodie to feed at that point. So yeah, so it's a baby and toddler food blog.
So do you have all of your baby and toddler food recipes and content still?
Yes. Yeah, it's all baby and toddler food, really. There is some family food recipes, but it's mainly focused baby toddler food.
Okay, so do you still make baby and toddler food even though your boys have or your kids have outgrown that age?
Yes, yeah, I do. Okay. Which has been recently has been a struggle for me because I see all these blogs, you know, I'm drawn towards ones with nice cheese pools and very indulgent foods, and I want to have a go at doing all that, but with my niche I have to stick to the low sugar, low salt recipes that are suitable for baby-led weaning and toddlers.
Who do you give your food to? I'm assuming it's food mostly meant for babies, or is it food that anyone can eat?
Yeah, I mean, they're developed for babies, for, you know, they're low in salt. I try and think about the iron content and nutritional needs of babies and toddlers, but they're suitable for all ages. I eat it, my children eat it, my husband eat it. We do have to add some salt, but we still, you know, nothing goes to waste.
Yeah. So I can see other bloggers maybe making a different choice, right? Like they don't really want to continue with food that they're not necessarily eating or loving. Can you relate to that? Was there a point where you maybe could have gone down a different road?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. In fact, just maybe a year, 2 years ago, I considered selling the blog because I just felt like I'd outgrown my niche. And I did try to go down family-friendly meals, but just ranking for them just seemed to be a challenge. And the audience, my blog's audience, really wants the finger foods, the baby foods, the toddler recipes. And every time I still do put family meals on, but they never rank as well. They never give me the traffic like the baby-focused recipes do.
So what if somebody had a niche that wasn't necessarily based on like what their family was eating, but more a diet, and then maybe a diet change, like their what they were consuming changed, and they literally didn't eat the old diet anymore? They would have to sell or change a niche or maybe even start a second blog, right? So I feel like you're really fortunate that this is still food that you guys can still consume.
Yeah, exactly. At least we don't have any dietary needs that we're having to deal with. We can eat everything, which does make it easier.
Do you anticipate continuing this for a while, or can you see eventually outgrowing this niche?
I already thought I had outgrown it, but I just changed my mindset and looked at everything that I liked about the blog and enjoy about the job, and I've just kept going. I mean, when I thought about selling it, I was going to start a new one. But then I thought, I've got 10 years experience in this niche. My domain authority is high. And the thought of having to start at the very beginning was quite daunting. And I just realized that blogging is so much more than the recipes you're creating. It's continuous learning. It's photography. It's video. It's video editing. It's SEO. And all these aspects of food blogging would be exactly the same. So it's just a small part that I've outgrown. The actual niche is just a small part of blogging. So although sometimes I wish I was doing things that related more to my family now, I do understand that, you know, good 80% of the job would be the same regardless of what my niche would be. So that's, when I changed that mindset, that's made me more focused and happy to continue with Healthy Little Foodies.
Yeah. So I'm looking through your site now. It's really beautiful, by the way. Are there other recipes on your site that don't fall into your niche? Do you do anything outside of that that is just kind of fun for you that you like to include in there?
I mean, there are family-friendly recipes which do actually fall in niche because, well, children can eat what the whole family are eating. So, but I don't have anything in, you know, very indulgent in it, because just with the title as well, Healthy Little Foodies, I've just tried to keep it to healthier foods that would be suitable.
Right.
For not every recipe on the site suitable for babies, but would be for toddlers and children. And I do have some lunchbox stuff that's more geared to school age kids as well.
Oh, that's so helpful. So you cover a range. It's not just babies mm-hmm. and toddlers, but this could extend to early elementary years and even like yeah. I have super picky children and they're teenagers, so this could even be extended to them, I think. Just trying to add some healthy vibes into the food.
Yeah, there's like pasta sauces with 7 different vegetables blended Oof. Into them and things like that. But it's good for fussy eaters as well.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's great. So if somebody feels like they have outgrown their blog or their niche in some way, do you have recommendations for them?
Yeah, I do. I just think you need to change your mindset and think about what you know on that subject. Think about how many years experience you've had on that subject, and that you've become an expert. Because I think with my own blog, I start to think, I can no longer speak on this subject. I don't have babies anymore. I don't have toddlers anymore. I'm not a qualified dietitian. What am I even doing a blog on healthy children's food? But then I just changed my mindset and I was like, well, I do have 2 very adventurous eaters. I have a degree in food science. I have a certificate in childhood nutrition. I also have a postgraduate in education. So I understand how children learn, and I can put that focus in. And I understand that not every child's the same. So one child may eat something on the first try. Other children may take 20 tries before they accept it. I've had experience working in the food industry, developing recipes for major UK supermarkets. And I've lived in different countries and had babies and toddlers in those countries. So I understand the products that are available to them, the ingredients, the measurements. And so although I don't actually have children anymore and was feeling like I was being an imposter in the niche, I then just switched my focus and thought, what experience do I have? And I also have 10 years talking about right. this topic and developing food for this topic. So I think just changing your mindset and thinking, although I may not be in that phase just now, I had many years of experience
yeah. So you
doing that phase.
Embracing your expertise. You were an expert.
Yeah.
The expertise doesn't go away just because your children have gotten older, right? You still have all of that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I think if you're finding it challenging, you should spend more time on the things that you do enjoy and less time on the things that you hate. So I struggle with social media, and more so now because I see all the influencers, you know, they're younger than me and they've got little babies, cute little babies eating their meals, and they can show them the meals that they started with and how much they ate. And that's really interesting for new parents. And I can't do any of that because it's a world I've moved well beyond now. But, you know, I never liked social media before, really. It's something I find exceptionally hard. So I think I switched it to, okay, I can't do this. I can't showcase a baby eating it and the cute little hands and everything now because I've moved beyond it. But if I was to switch niche, I wouldn't enjoy the social media anyway. So I just tried to switch my focus away from social media and mainly on SEO and onto the blog, the more things that I enjoy. So I think you have to think, would I still hate that side of this blog if I was to change my niche? And if the answer is yes, then you don't need to change your niche.
Ooh, that is really powerful. Yeah, because you tend to think like a fresh start equals renewed passion for everything, but that's not necessarily the case. If you don't like Instagram, for example, you probably aren't going to like Instagram no matter your niche.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
And then I assume that you, by doing that, by focusing less on things that you don't like, you're able to focus more on what you do like.
Yes.
Yeah. Which for you is blogging or...
Yeah, I enjoy the actual blog itself. I like being stuck behind the computer where no one sees me or hears me. So I like the blog and I like the photography. I like the finished edited videos, but maybe don't like recording the videos at the time, but I like seeing it finished. So I like all but the back end side of the blog as well. But there's so much more about the blog that I love. I love the freedom, the time freedom that gives me, so I can be present for all my kids' activities rather than a traditional job. So if the kids have something on at the school, I know I can attend and work that evening instead, etc. I can move country, city with my husband's job without the worry of myself having to find a new job. So there's lots about blogging as a whole that's, you know, so flexible and great to, so I look at that focuses as well. And the finance, yeah, the financial stability now of a blog that's established, the thought of selling this established blog that you know is earning a certain amount guaranteed, well, not guaranteed maybe in the long time, but guaranteed in the short term, a certain amount of money to sell that and then start at the beginning again where you've got no guarantee of any finances coming in for a year or two is quite daunting as well. So yeah, that's another reason to stay where I'm at.
Hello there, awesome food bloggers. Taking a really quick break to chat about Rank IQ. I love this keyword research tool, and you've heard me talk about how much it has helped to grow my traffic on my own blog, Pip and Ebby. I obviously love the traffic growth I've experienced, but I'll tell you about an additional reason I love this tool so much, which is how quickly I can publish a post compared to my pre-Rank IQ days. One, I don't do as much searching on the front end of the process of deciding on a keyword because there are so many ideas just waiting for me right inside the keyword library. Because of this, I dig into the writing portion really quickly and with laser focus. Two, I write each post with confidence because each keyword has been handpicked, promising low competition and high search volume. With other tools, I approach each keyword with hesitation because I really don't know how each one will perform or whether it's going to produce traffic for me. And three, the Rank IQ Optimizer is the best optimizer out there, no joke. It provides very specific words and phrases to use in my content. This makes the writing process go so quickly and smoothly as the optimizer acts as my guide, leading the way to a comprehensively written post. Go to rankiq.com to sign up and check it all out for yourself. Now back to the episode. Yeah, keeping an eye on your why, like if you want financial freedom, schedule freedom, like you mentioned, and if it's filling that gap for you, then it's probably good to keep going with it, right? But if it's not, maybe it's good to reconsider another route. So what if somebody is like, okay, I'm just done, and they have a 10-year-old blog, and maybe they're looking for, I don't know, just ways to stay inspired, to keep going. Do you have any recommendations for that?
So if you think you want to carry on with your niche because you've looked at the alternatives and, you know, if you were to sell, you'd have to look at a new job or a new blog. And if that's not something you want to go down and you've looked at all the positives and you're like, yeah, I definitely want to keep my niche, but I'm feeling stale, then you could always start a second blog.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And this is what I'm not doing it. My son has recently asked if he could start a blog. So I just thought, well, this would be a good project for both me and him to do because both my boys are very sporty and they're drawn towards their dad in that respect. So him coming to me saying, I would be quite interested in starting a blog. It's a good thing to keep that bond with him, especially as he grows older. He's about to start high school, so it'd be nice to have something
absolutely
that we could do together. He wants to do very sweet recipes, like, and he said he'd quite like to do this, you know, Scottish recipes. So I think this is a great thing for me because it means I can explore a new niche, and my son can learn new skills, and he can learn and have a deeper understanding of culinary traditions, Scottish culinary traditions, and he can connect with his grandparents for family recipes. And it's, you know, it could be a shared passion that we do together. So I'm hoping that gives me that, you know, because the reason I wanted to move out of my niche was to do something that's more related to me now. So this is quite good because this allows me to do sweeter recipes, allows me to do more indulgent recipes and also connect with my son. And there's no pressure to make it financially,
right?
You know, because I've still got the finances from my own blog.
Right.
So
no pressure.
Yeah, so just starting a second blog and without that pressure of it having to succeed. Mm-hmm. And then if it did take off, that's maybe when you could then sell the blog that you feel you've outgrown.
Yeah, I love that. I love that it's something for you and him to bond over, and maybe it'll foster a great love for cooking and certain types of cooking and food for him. So many benefits.
He does have, and I don't know if that is because of being immersed in it right from when he was, you know, 2 years, because he never went to daycare. He was always sitting on the kitchen bench helping me with all the development. So he has always been growing up, and he always comes home from school wondering what there is to try, what recipes we've created. They're both very still interested in the baby recipes. So they come home from school and eat it all. So he is very enthusiastic about cooking and eating.
That's
so
great.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I think this is an issue that more people encounter than we might think, because a lot of us did this to stay home with our kids. And then once we're here, we're like, oh, I might as well make food for them. And then that kind of naturally leads into our blogs. And then eventually they get older if we stick with it long enough. So
yeah, I do think there'll be a lot of all the mummy bloggers.
Right.
Because when you're in that stage of life, that's all you can think about.
I know
when you have a baby, that's your world at that time. So, and you're also, well, I know maternity rules are different in the States. You maybe don't have so much time off, but you know, in Scotland and Australia, we have a lot longer time off. So that's when people start maybe thinking, right. I might start a blog, because I'm only thinking about baby stuff at the moment and I have the time. So I think there'd be quite a lot of people that have started baby toddler that have either given up or they've moved on, but having to stay in that niche because it's become successful.
So you did rebrand though a little bit, right? Because your initial blog was called, remind me what that initial blog?
Feeding Finn.
Okay.
So my eldest is Finn, Finley Finn. And it was very just much pictures of him eating. And now I don't have that.
Yeah. At what point did you rebrand to Healthy Little Foodies?
So I'm trying to remember. It was when I just moved to Australia, which was 2016, I think.
Okay.
So I had 3 years, maybe 4 years, 3 or 4 years, or maybe 2017. I think I had about 3 or 4 years feeding Finn. And then I just was like, I really want to get serious with this, and did a rebrand. That wasn't so personal, because I just felt feeding Finn, it was a bit diary-like, just all about me. And I wanted it to be more
helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, putting your kid's name in the URL, or I know there's a blogger in my mastermind currently. She started her blog when her boys were really little too. So her URL has mama in the in the description. It's like, it's mindful mama. And now it's like, she's still a mom, but her kids are older, and it kind of implies that she's a mom of young kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So your branding can reflect that you are a certain thing that you kind of grow out of. So that's hard too, because rebranding is no joke. Like, you have to get a new URL, you've got to get new logo and all of that stuff. So that can be really overwhelming too.
Yeah. And the longer you've been running it with the other brand, the harder it is, I think, because you've got all your backlinks and you get nervous changing everything in case it all goes.
Don't want to upset Google.
And I did drop initially.
Did you?
Just for maybe a month or two, but I did hire someone to do all the changeover to make sure it was right. And then it just took off again after that. So it didn't affect me hugely, just a month or two.
Yeah, I've heard that's pretty typical. Do you have any other advice for people who are in the same boat as you? Any mindset advice or more logistical advice?
So just writing your positives, writing your negatives, and really thinking, is this a negative because of the niche, or is this a negative because I don't like that aspect of blogging? And then, it's just a change of mindset, thinking about what you love about it. And just thinking that, well, it's so much more than the niche blogging, isn't it? There's so much that you do regardless of the niche that's exactly the same.
Right. Yeah, this is great to consider. A lot of us fall into that. I almost went down the road of doing more baby and kid focused recipes and doing exactly what you did. And I mean, it would have served me fine, I'm sure. But now it's like, oh, I think the niche has kind of grown with me really well. So it's going to be a different story for everyone. But thank you for sharing your perspective. I really love this topic. And yeah, it was just great to have you here. Is there anything we've forgotten that we want to mention before we start saying goodbye?
Just when you said that, I think niche sites are easier probably to grow, especially now that food blogging is so saturated. So even if you were to have to move out of one niche, you'd have to probably nowadays go down another niche, which you could outgrow again, or you could get bored of again. So you've got to also think about that. The days of being able to start a blog that is, you know, encompasses all now is really difficult because Google wants to see that you're an authority in something. So even if you are going to think, oh, I've outgrown this one, you can't just go and do a broad blog now. You have to just go back into another niche. So that's another thing. Maybe you just, you know, that you're always going to have to niche down now. So stick with what you know, maybe, and think of all the expertise that you've gained in doing that and that Google see.
And all that you have to share too, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how you can benefit your users and how Google will have favor on you as well.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thanks again, Amy, for sharing all of this. It was a pleasure to chat with you and connect. Do you have either a favorite quote or words of inspiration to leave us with?
I do. I'm quite a risk-averse person, so it's strange that these quotes have really stayed with me. And the first one is, I don't know who said it, and it was a friend of mine when I was in high school used to always say it, I'd rather regret the things that I have done than regret the things I haven't done. Mm. And that has stayed with me my whole life. And I think that's why I've moved to different countries. I've taken a risk in jobs. I've moved jobs when I needed to. And it's just the way I live my life now, even though I'm quite a risk averse person. And then I remember when I was working in Canada, it was like a building thing with my job. And the lady said there, you have to do one thing every day that scares you. That was a quote, do one thing every day that scares you. And I really, really have taken that quote on as well, because you can get used to a very cozy, comfortable life. And yeah, you could be happy with it, but there's so much more. And if you just take a little risk each day and do something that is out of your comfort zone, your world can become bigger and even better. Even though you're comfortable and happy with it as it is now, there's just so much more. So those are two that have stuck with me for, you know, years. And one other is, every morning you have two choices. You can continue to sleep with your dreams, or you can wake up and chase them. And I think that three quotes just is how I live my life. You know, I have these dreams and I've gone for them. And yeah, it hasn't been easy. It's been quite scary, but it's given me the life that I've always dreamed of.
Oh, those are so great. I love all of them and how they kind of play together too. Such a great way to end and a great conversation. Thank you, Amy. We'll put together a show notes page for you. You can find those at eblogtalk.com/healthylittlefoodies. Tell everyone again where they can find you, Amy.
Yeah, you can find me at healthylittlefoodies.com, and all my social medias are healthylittlefoodies apart from Pinterest, which is just the H, Little Foodies.
Awesome. Everyone go check out Amy's content. And thanks again, Amy, for being here. And thank you for listening, food bloggers. I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eat Blog Talk. Please share this episode with a friend who would benefit from tuning in. I will see you next time.